And there he took a girl by the name of Faye, who was 6 feet tall. That may be unremarkable for us, but of course it is exceptional for the Greeks of the sixth century. He dressed her up as the goddess Athena with a suit of armor, put her in a chariot, and then proceeded in ceremonial fashion to drive from Brauron to the city of Athens, with the Athenians lining the way, convinced that it was the goddess Athena herself who was escorting Pisistratus back to Athens. That's the colourful story. The slightly more mundane historical detail that must be added is that his opponents did oppose this return. They brought him to battle, and at the Battle of Pallene in 546, Pisistratus was able to defeat his enemies and finally, once and for all, to establish himself as the tyrant of Athens. Notice, though, where is there an Athenian army? Where is there an Athenian state or government force opposing him and defending the state against him? It doesn't exist, because Athens at this stage is still really nothing more than a combination of different factions fighting each other. That's what it was at the beginning of Pisistratus' rule, around 546. It was not that by the time of the end of the rule of the Pisistratids, towards the end of the 6th century. I want to talk then about the transformation that took place in Athens as a result of Pisistratus being in power. And a good place to begin is by going to Herodotus, who, 50 years after the expulsion of the Pisistratid family, investigated the tyranny. He wanted to understand what impact it had had. And he came to the conclusion, the somewhat remarkable conclusion, that Pisistratus had, in fact, ruled very mildly, that he had essentially obeyed all the laws that had been handed down from Solon, and that, in general, Pisistratus had done a great deal to benefit the Athenians. Taking their cue from Herodotus, some modern historians would go even further, and they would say that, looked at over the long haul, over the whole expanse of Athenian history and Athenian democracy, Pisistratus may have been finally more important for the establishment of the democracy than even Solon. Let's consider his record then to see whether these claims bear examination. Well, first of all, we know that he maintained the existing body of law. Now, this means that every year still, the Athenians met and elected new magistrates. It is not as if government was suspended by Pisistratus. It's true, of course, that the majority of people being elected to these offices were probably members of Pisistratus' family or other factions that were allied to him. But the net effect was to continue this sense of the regularity of Athenian government. And in fact, probably most other great families came to some sort of accommodation with Pisistratus, so that what we end up here is with a more stable sharing of power between the great families of Athens, with Pisistratus acting as a kind of moderator over the whole affair. Furthermore, he appointed rural magistrates so that poor farmers could actually get legal redress out in the countryside. Now, this also is an important step if you think about it. On the one hand, of course, it means they don't have to quit their farms and come into the city centre. So it encourages people not to be coming into Athens, milling about and congregating, which some sources say he was afraid of because this might lead to unrest. But more importantly, I think, it reinforces for every Athenian, not just the people living in downtown Athens, but for the farmers living 30 miles out of Athens, it reinforces for them the notion that there is a rule of law guaranteed by the Athenian state, which will protect them and give them a hearing. Not that they have to travel into Athens for this, but that it will even come to them. So that, I think, is an important development. Another much more straightforward and material benefit is that he embarked on an extremely ambitious building program. This included a temple to Athena up on the Acropolis, and if you've been to the Acropolis, you'll of course have seen the Parthenon and the Erechtheion, but between the two of them, if you look at the bedrock, you will actually see the cut bedrock bearing the foundations of that temple built by the Pisistratids. The rest of the temple is now gone.